Okay, you're probably wondering two things. Why on earth has he got a hose pipe? And for the nervous amongst you, it's not plugged in anywhere. Okay. And the second one is, well, probably the most important, you think, dealing with disappointment. Now, if you'd have taught me back a year ago, if someone had said to me, dealing with disappointment is something that God has on his heart, I would have gone, what? What's disappointment got to do, A, with the Christian life, and actually us working through to see the kingdom of God break out? But I've got an amazing testimony of what God has done, and I will share my own personal story of how God broke disappointment in my own heart over my dad's death and has released me into freedom and some of the things I've been seeing over this last year. But to do that, I just want to set up a bit of a story of how God actually uses us. So, first slide. So partnering with God, if you imagine you are the hosepipe before you find the Lord in your unsaved, sinful state, you are this hosepipe. Okay? You're not connected into the Father's love. You're not saved. You are literally an empty, pretty empty, fruitless. We've got to be real, haven't we? We're pretty fruitless. There's not a lot of life going, real life going on us, and certainly not the life that the Father wants through kingdom. So I always think that salvation really is 99% God and literally only 1% us. Salvation is all God's idea. He put the plan into place, sent the Holy Spirit, sent Jesus to die on the cross. It's all his. We don't even know we need to be saved unless the Holy Spirit convicts us of our sin. So really, it's 1%. All we do is pray the sinner's prayer. I mean, you can pray that in 5-10 seconds, can't you? I know, you know, it takes a little time to sometimes get to that point, but it literally is as little as that that we do. We have so little to do with our own salvation other than just saying yes to Jesus. But this is where I think we go a little bit wrong in our Christian walk. We then think that our Christian walk and seeing the kingdom break out is 99% God still and only 1% us. I think we forget that God, if you think about God's original plan for Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden, he made them to rule and reign. To multiply, be fruitful, subdue the earth, and be kings and queens in his kingdom. But unfortunately, they gave that rule and reign to the devil through the sin. And basically, that went. Now, when Jesus came back on and died on the cross, he got that rule back off the enemy and given it back to us. So when we're born again, we have the chance again to be almost like we were in the Garden of Eden. He wants to demonstrate the rule and reign of the kingdom through how we live our lives and through the miracles, through salvation, through testimony. But it's 50%. God could do it all if he wants. He could save anyone without using us. He could heal anyone without using us. But he loves family. He loves partnering with us. So that's why it has to be 50% the Father and 50% us. So if you want to see people raised from the dead, if you want to see people saved, if you want to see miracles on the streets, if you want to show love to people, you've got to walk, open your mouth, pray for people, talk to people. It's not going to happen. I think it was a famous quote from John Wesley, says, nothing happens on this earth except through prayer. And God does nothing on this earth except through believing prayer. And we have to step out. We have to pray and step out to see God work. So I was thinking, so we're connected. So then we're saved, we're born again, we get connected into God's love supply, his water of life. And then we do, and then we do this. We get our hose out, and we start sprinkling a bit of stuff, a bit of love, a bit of prayer, a bit of testimony, whatever we do, sharing the gospel. And then we pull out a bit more, and then these things start appearing. And then we wonder why the supply is not probably as fast or as pure and as free as it used to be. Next slide. And I think these things represent some of those barriers up there. So you could imagine if there's unforgiveness in our hearts, if there's disappointment, if there's fear, if we've been living with shame, the feeling that we're not quite right all of our lives. So these things will interrupt the flow of God's kingdom, his power through us. So we have to be conscious, again, not passive. We have to think about dealing with these things. Just as much as we have to partner with God in seeing the kingdom break out, we have to deal with these things. The kingdom of God is never passive, and we have to actually actively ask the Father to reveal these things. That's why you may think, well, what? I mean, if you're honest, who has ever thought about disappointment in the terms of the kingdom? But actually, if you think of disappointment as one of these knots, it will just block up the flow of God. There will still be some water coming out, but we have to deal with these. I call them spiritual roadblocks. We have to deal with them. Okay. So Disappointment, the definition, sadness, hurt, pain, displeasure caused by non-fulfillment of your dreams, your hopes, your desires. So we've all been there. I've been there with that ice cream when I was a young lad. Went up to the ice cream van, got the ice cream, literally tripped on the curb, back to my mum's front door, splat. I mean, I was looking forward to it all week, and that was it. Okay, let's just have a quick turn to Romans 5, which is the scripture I'm basing today on. Romans 5 and 1 to 5. And I've left my Bible. Now, Steve mentioned hope a little while ago in one of his prayers, which I thought was just fabulous because it really ties in with this scripture. So, therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom also we have access by faith into this grace in which we stand and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. And not only that, but we also glory in tribulations, knowing that tribulation produces perseverance, and perseverance character, and character hope. Now hope does not disappoint us, because the love of God has been poured out into our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given us. Now I think if the overriding big message I want to get today is that disappointments will be part of our life. If you think they're not, then you're kidding yourself. Even from this moment on, you will get disappointments in your life, because we're alive. We cannot not be disappointed in life. But I want to say to you, only God is the one who can never disappoint you. When we put our hopes in worldly things, or even in our relationships fully and not fully in God, then that's when we will probably get more disappointed. And the bigger your hopes, the bigger your dreams, probably the bigger your disappointments might be. But I'm saying is, don't stop dreaming. Don't stop thinking of the bigger things in God and how you want to see the kingdom break out just because you don't want to get disappointed. But only God, ultimately, will fulfill our need, and he cannot disappoint us. Okay? Right. And this is another classic one where people sort of like dehumanize disappointment. It's always people. I mean, I hear people saying, well, circumstances conspired against me. Things just racked up, and that's why I got disappointed. But ultimately, there is always people behind every circumstance. How can you have circumstances in life without people being orchestrating them and being part of them? So don't dehumanize it either. Don't think that disappointment is just something that is never caused by people. And I'm going to be brazen here. Often the people that disappoint us most are the people probably you're sitting next to. Husbands disappoint wives, wives disappoint husbands, friends disappoint each other, kids disappoint their parents, parents disappoint their kids. That's, don't you? Does he? Nods. So just be real. Again, because the closer the relationship, more likely the disappointment will be. Okay. And really, disappointment is the tip of the iceberg. It's a slippery slope that runs us through these various categories. Someone's disappointment gets a bit of a foothold in our lives, we'll then get discouraged, become disillusioned, we'll start to give up our hopes, give up our dreams, our faith starts to get eroded, and then ultimately depression and defeat will be part of it. It is that serious, if you like, but it can be dealt with, and Jesus has dealt with it on the cross. Right, if we're going to have a quick look at some of the results of what happens when we are disappointed in our hearts. So the biggest thing, it will kill your faith. Because if you don't deal with disappointment, it will actually erode your faith in your heart. Because if you're asking the Father for things to happen in your life, and they don't happen as you want them to do, or they, you know, your dreams and desires aren't fulfilled, then you're very unlikely to go back to the Father again, aren't you? If you've been disappointed. It's like the ice cream van. You know, I went there, and I could have stopped going to get an ice cream because I thought if every time I go and get an ice cream, I'm going to trip over and it's going to land up on the floor. Then I'm never going to go. So you have to be careful here that it's our faith is the biggest thing that disappointment will kill. We'll just lose that expectation of the Father moving. And I think the reason for that is that we all know that God is good, and we can say that God is good, and we can read that God is good. But do we actually expect Him to be good in our own lives? That is a really There's two. I think they're poles apart. I know God's good, but will he actually come out for me? Will he be good for me? And when he seems like he doesn't, we'll probably not go again. We'll give up on that point. You prayed for healing. I mean, I've seen two miracles in this last year, which is amazing. But the number of times I prayed for people and I saw nothing, seemingly nothing happen. And I did get disappointed on that. So I had to process disappointment in my own heart about not seeing healing when I prayed. But if you do it and you keep persevering and you keep going back, then things will happen. But you can't give up. Disappointment is a roadblock, but you can get around it. You'll probably not see sort of kingdom of God breaking out in the way you want it to. I certainly wasn't seeing a lot of the kingdom of God breaking out, bits and pieces here and there. But since I've been dealing with these sort of roadblocks, I've seen a lot more of the kingdom of God break out. And I think it makes us self-protective. We lock our hearts away. We don't want to dream big anymore. We don't want to risk things for the kingdom of God. So we lock our hearts away and in a self-protective way. And like I said, we'll avoid praying. It's better not to pray, isn't it? Because if I don't pray, then I don't get disappointed. I don't risk the run of like it not happening for me or not seeing an outcome. So I'll just play safe. We play safe as Christians. We don't talk to people about Jesus. We won't offer to pray. We won't offer to sort of go out and love them in a way because the hurt, if it's still there, it'll be a block for us being able to give out. But you have to be deliberate with it. These things will not get unknotted unless I go up to this hose pipe now and do this. It will not get unknotted if I just leave it on the floor. And God, you deal with it, God. You deal with my shame, my sin, my disappointment, my unbelief, my unforgiveness. You deal with it. Well, he says, well, I can't. I've already have dealt with it on the cross. You've got a partner with me in dealing with these things that are causing blocks in your heart. So you have to be really deliberate about doing this. Because we're quite British about it. We shrug it off. Oh, it's only disappointment. Oh, it doesn't matter. They always disappoint me. So we just shrug it off. We just take it on. That's just the norm. But it's not the norm for our lives, actually. God has called us to come into a real full life with him. And that's what he wants. The word says, I've come to give you life and life in all its fullness. And this life of limited power, limited seeing things happening, and also can affect our relationship with it as well. I'm not just thinking about the kingdom of God here. I'm thinking about how it affects our walk with him. So on our intimacy with him. These blocks are also blocks to intimacy, not just blocks to seeing the kingdom break out. So we have to be really deliberate with it. And don't just go, well, okay, I was disappointed. They always disappoint me. But thank you, Lord, anyway. Thank you for them. If you jump too quickly from the disappointment and pain in your heart to being thankful, then you're not going to deal with the pain somewhere in between. And it's okay to thank God for the people. And you do need to forgive. Often hand in hand with disappointment is learning to forgive the people as well and learning to let them go. But don't jump so quickly from the pain to the thankfulness without saying, God, come on, I've got to be real here. That really hurt me. That really did disappoint me. And it's not a sin. Disappointment is not a sin. It's not a sign that you're worldly. It's not at all. Disappointment is a sign that you're alive and that God has given you hope and expectation in dreams. If you're not disappointed, you're dead. You're dead. I would say you're dead inside. So be actually glad in a weird way that you are disappointed because it shows that you are made for bigger things. You are made for a bigger life. But just don't not deal with it. And be real, because we're very good at being. I think sometimes someone says that the worst people to counsel are Christians. Sometimes the best people to counsel are non-Christians. Because they're actually just really real and blunt. They swear. They tell it as it is in a counseling room. They'll blame people. They rant. And sometimes, when people are Christian, we just put our Sunday best on all the time. How are you? I'm all right. How you doing? I'm fine. You're looking a bit sad. No, I'm fine. And we do play Sunday best with each other. And we do that. The worst person we do that with is our Father in heaven. But he knows how you feel. He knows you're angry. He knows you're ranting. He knows you're fuming inside. He knows you're disappointed, hurt, sad, scared. Why do you pretend? Why do we pretend with our Father? And why do we pretend with each other so often? When actually he knows us and he just loves us exactly where we are. Like Steve says, none of us are perfect human beings. So just be real. Just come as you are to the Father who just loves us just as we are. Okay, so I've got two stories now. One is Moses. I just love the story of Moses. And then I'm going to tell you my personal story. So there was Moses. His mum rescued him from being killed, put him in that lovely little basket of papyrus reeds or however it's made. And there he was, floating off down the river. He was a Hebrew. He's floating off down the river, and he goes, not by accident, of course, but by God's design, there he is, caught up in the reeds, and Pharaoh's daughter comes and rescues him. So, gone from a Hebrew state, now being rescued by a Pharaoh. Completely alien world to him. His mum then gets him back and brings him up, which is, you know, I love the way God did that. He goes, and then he comes back to be brought up by his mum. And you can imagine that the story, he would have known he was a Hebrew. He would have never have forgotten he was a Hebrew. And then he goes back. He goes back to live in the palace. So he went from being a Hebrew to literally being, you know, I'm sure if anyone's seen the film, Prince of Egypt. Amazing film, love that. It just shows the story of how he was. You know, he was brought up as a prince. He was brought up to rule. He was not, and that's how God wants us. God brings us up to rule and reign in this life, to be princes and princesses, kings and queens in his kingdom. But Moses, unfortunately, I think there was arrogance started to come into his heart. You can imagine there was a lot, I think there was quite a lot of pride there. He could do pretty much what he wanted. But I think deep down, he never forgot that he was a Hebrew. And the story is, isn't it, when he saw the oppression of his people, he decided to do things in his own strength and take matters into his own hands. And he killed one of the slave drivers. And basically had to flee for his life. He was not in a good place. He thought he was rescuing his people. He thought he was doing an amazing act, killing that guard. I'm going to bring salvation. I'm going to bring deliverance to my people. But basically, it just backfired. He killed the guy. They found out about it. Pharaoh was after his life. He had to run. And where did he run? He ran away into the desert. And that's where God encountered him. So in his orphan, almost like he'd lost his princeliness, he'd gone back to like an orphan heart. And that's where God encountered him. Just exactly what, broken, hurt. You can imagine he was bitterly disappointed that his own people, who he thought he was coming to rescue, didn't recognize him. Okay, he went about it the wrong way, but he was still trying to say, I want to rescue you. I want to help you. So God had to forgive him. He had to heal him. I think Moses had to process through a lot of pain, a lot of hurt and disappointment. And God gave him that commission through the burning bush to go back and rescue his people. But there was pain and disappointment in Moses' heart. He could not. You know, I mean, he objected, didn't he? I can't talk. I'm not any good. I can't do this. But God said, no, you can. But this time you're going to do it in my strength. And that's what made the difference. So he went back the next time with Aaron, his brother. But then he even had a bigger disappointment. God did not deliver his people as Moses would have dreamt. Because basically, when Moses went to talk to Pharaoh, Pharaoh just basically shut the doors, didn't he? He made it even harder. He doubled the workload. They had to go and collect their own straw to make the bricks for the building projects. And basically, he just made life even double hell. So here again, Moses, you know, I've got my commission from the Father, coming to rescue you, and Pharaoh just went bang, closed the door on it. You can imagine the disappointment. So in Exodus 5 and 22, this is basically what Moses said, and he didn't pull his punches. So Moses returned to the Lord and said, Lord, why have you brought trouble on this people? Why is it that you have sent me? For since I came to Pharaoh to speak in your name, he has done evil to this people. Neither have you, God, delivered your people at all. I mean, that's not a shrinking violet sort of conversation with the Father, is it? He told God exactly what he felt about what, you know, come on, Lord, you said you'd be with me. You said you'd deliver this people. I've gone and asked Pharaoh. And I think what God was doing was, I think, So often, it's like with me praying for people, and I didn't see a lot of things happening. I think sometimes if we get things too quickly, we don't learn to trust the Father. We start trusting in our own power and in our own strength. And I think what God was doing with Moses was that he was helping him to depend on him even more, because he didn't get the deliverance that he wanted straight away. And I think just God had a bigger plan. I mean, we know that it worked out in the end, that God did deliver his people through Moses' hand. But you had to work through that disappointment to get there. Okay. So then my own sort of story. So a year ago, like I said, I didn't even know that disappointment was an issue in our lives. My dad had died the previous year, and I'd been praying for him. My mum and dad are not Christians, or seemingly so. I'd been praying for my dad for years and didn't really seemingly see God doing anything. Didn't see, you know, he just really seemed really shut off to God. And I just getting, you know, but I kept praying and praying. I literally pray all the time for my dad to come into the kingdom, to get salvation. And then he died. And what was even more gutting was my dad went into a bit of he slipped into a coma or an unconscious state on the day that I actually went up to the hospital, on the day he died. So I couldn't even, I was thinking, God, it must be the last day. It must be that then I can talk to him. And, you know, and I think I was putting an amazing amount of pressure on myself to see God break out and save my dad. Of course I wanted him to be saved. I love him, you know, I love my dad to bits, and I wanted him, you know, want him to be in heaven, and I want to see him again in one day. And then he died. I was upset because he died, but I just know there was such pain and disappointment, and I was angry with God. You know, God, why didn't you break into my dad's life? Why was he so difficult to talk to about you? Why was he like a stone? You know, I just, all this pain and hurt came out of my heart. And I noticed, because I've always been fairly open to the Holy Spirit. I've had quite, you know, sort of prophetic sort of ministry and other pieces. And I just noticed that after my dad died, I just started drying up. It felt like a stone had rolled across my heart. I was really struggling to hear God again in any kind of intimate way. And I knew there was a cloud over me, but I couldn't put my finger on it. I know, okay, I could say, well, I was hurting and I was grieving, but I'd sensed in the spirit there was something else going on over my heart. And we went to West Point, and this is where all my this journey of change just erupted. We went to West Point last year, and Nick and I were going through the program of what to do and which seminars to go to. And then I think it was the last afternoon, we were just stuck for something to do. We were almost going to stay at the tent, just chill out. And then we saw this one dealing with disappointment, and it was being run by TSM, which is where I've been for the last year, the Wendy man up there. And we both looked at the title and thought, what on earth is that all about? But something intrigued us about it. So we nipped along. We prayed about it and we nipped along. I just had this feeling that something was going to happen. And I walked into the marquee and stood at the front and burst into tears. And nothing had even started. And Nick was the same. You know, God was really moving on both of our hearts powerfully even before anyone even came out. And they started talking about disappointment, about how it is causes such a block in our hearts and how that we do need to look at it and deal with it. And some guy came and stood alongside me, and we just started going through the steps of how to deal with it. And I was just snot, tears. I was a mess. I was a complete mess. And he said, you've got to tell God how you feel. He said, and stop being British. Tell God how you feel. And I just went, God, I'm really angry with you. I'm really hurt. I feel fed up that it seems like you didn't answer my prayers. You didn't hear, you know, why haven't you saved my dad? I love him. He's in hell. I just went, blah. I just got it all out. And then the healing and the peace I got from just actually being gut-wrenchingly real with my feelings and talking to the Father. And this guy, amazing guy, stood by the side of me, you know, mopping my tears in a bucket, you know, basically. And I literally, we've got through the end of that time, and I was about to walk out the tent, and God said to me, you're doing supernatural ministry training. It was as clear, I didn't hear an audible voice, but I heard this voice in my spirit. And as I walked out the tent, guess who I bumped into? Dave Berry, he's the lead pastor elder at the Borden Church. Bumped into him. Guess what? The first thing he said to me, he started talking about supernatural ministry training. I thought, God, I think you're on my case. Dealt with that block, God clearly spoke to me again, and the journey I've been on since has just been bonkers. It's been tough, but I've just seen amazing stuff, and God's just broke freedom into my heart in a brand new way because I was real, because I dealt with something and I faced my pain. And then, you know, when you think God's done that, halfway through TSM, we had a lady, one of the leaders in the church, came, and she's speaking about prayer. And her story, she started talking about her own dad and how she'd prayed for him for years. And it just echoed my story. She'd prayed for him for so many years, not seemingly seeing him make any response or interest in God. And he slipped into a coma literally the last week before he died, and she was just gutted. She was so hurt and disappointed. And she just processed through the pain as well. And she said when she'd finished processing through her pain, she felt the Holy Spirit speak to her. And she said, well, how do you not know that when your dad was in a coma that I wasn't talking to him? And I just burst into tears. I just burst into tears because I felt God was saying to me, yeah, how did I not know that Jesus wasn't ministering to my dad when he'd slipped into his little coma before he died? And I just thought, wow. He just felt like God had not only healed my pain, but he'd also given me hope that my dad was saved and he's with him in heaven. I just thought, God, you're just so amazing. You always go above and beyond what we could ask or think of. And he just gave me an assurance in my heart that he'd heard all those prayers. Because the lady said, well, she felt the Holy Spirit say to her, I heard every one of your prayers for your dad's salvation. Do you not think, and if it was the other way around, if it was me asking you to save my dad, would you not do it? God is not deaf to our cries. He's not deaf to what we want. And we have to trust him. We don't always see things happen in this life, but we have to trust him that he's doing something all the time. Okay. Right, so there's a four-step plan on how to deal with your disappointment. Like some of these things I've already touched on. You've got to be real about it. You've got to set time aside. It takes a little time to pick up the hose and untie the knot. If I don't spend a little bit of time, it's going to stay knotted. So set aside time. God spoke to me over the last, I've been preparing for this for a few weeks, and God spoke to me saying, Rich, I think you need to do spiritual health check at least once a week. You know, when we're aching, when we've got pains, we go to the doctors, don't we? When our brain's a bit fuzzy, you know, about stuff, we talk to people. But I think sometimes we're not very good as Christians at doing spiritual health checks on ourselves. Because if we're not careful, all those roadblocks can build up. The forgiveness can come, unforgiveness can come in, the shame, the disappointment, the unbelief. And if we're not careful, we need to spend a bit of time with the Father. And he's not poking fingers at us to have a go at us. He's just saying, I want you to be free. I want you to be free of these things. So set aside time with the Father and ask the Holy Spirit to reveal disappointment in your heart. Don't go digging for it. I can guarantee every person in this room, if you've not ever dealt with disappointment in your life, you are going to have lots of disappointment that you need to deal with. You might think, oh, but it's fine. But you can just do one at a time. The Holy Spirit will just be so loving and gracious, and he'll often pick the biggest thing. He did that with me, with my dad, and there have been the other disappointments in my life, which I've visited as well. So this is a continual thing that we need to look at. Okay? Isaac? And don't hold back. Like I said, you've got to be real, gut-wrenchingly real. But the thing is, don't try not to accuse God. I know Moses did, and he's not saying it's wrong to accuse him, but actually it's not very helpful, because at the end of the day, our Father is perfect, and he can't actually do anything wrong. So it's okay to actually say things like, it felt like you abandoned me, God. It felt like you didn't listen to me. It seemed like you just... Why didn't you heal me? Seemed like whenever I ask you for healing, Father, you never heal me. Or you seem like you don't never heal me. Well, the thing is, you can accuse him. He'd rather you beat on his chest. He'd rather you just be completely real and go for it. But actually, at the end of the day, you've got to be careful that accusation doesn't turn into a lie. Because if you say, God, you never hear me, that's a lie, isn't it? It is a lie, because he's always listening to us. Yeah? And if you say you abandon me, well, the scripture's clear. You never leave me or forsake me. So just that's where you have to be careful with it. But God would rather you just go bleh than not, because he knows it anyway. Break agreements with lies. Some of the lies, you know, I'm always disappointed because I'm a failure. I always get disappointed because I'm not good enough, or God doesn't love me enough. So often with the disappointment, there can be a lie that's linked with it. So you need to break those lies as well and forgive. You've got to forgive yourself, which is probably the biggest one, because you can disappoint yourself, but forgive others. You've got to forgive them and for them disappointing you. Because if you don't, it'll sort of linger and it kills your faith. Okay? And then declare out loud. This is not a passive thing. You have to be un-British about this. If it's in your bedroom or in a church or something, declare out loud truths about God. God, Father, you hear me always. You are my healer. You are my rescuer. You're my deliverer. You never leave me or forsake me. D- declare the truth out about who God is, and it breaks the lies, and it restores your faith, because you get faith rising back up. Okay? And this is quite a big one. Sometimes when we get hurt and disappointed, we want to know why. Come on, why? But it'll just screw your brain up. Don't try and understand why it happened. Just trust the Father. Okay, he doesn't really want disappointment in your life, but he will use it. He's never the author of it. He never allows it, but he can use it to get you to a deeper place of trust and dependency in him again. So lay down your right to understand. Just forget about it. Just give it to God. Give it to God and trust him. He's always got the bigger picture. Look at what he did with me. He turned my disappointment over my dad's death into me. I wouldn't have gone to TSM this year if I hadn't dealt with that. And look at what God's done. And I just think that's the tip of the iceberg in what he wants to do with my life and with everyone's lives if we actually actively pursue stuff. Okay? So they are basically the steps. Now, I would really love us. Now, I can't force you to do it, and you've got to choose how much you want to engage with God. But I actually think now is the time to actually start doing some of this and actually go through these points and actually see what God does with your heart. And even if the Holy Spirit just reveals something to your heart and you go away and process it, that's fine. But for some people, this can be a life-changing moment, because today you can choose to be real about something in your heart. Now, again, don't force it, don't look for it, but actually choose now. Choose life. Choose life over death. Choose the Father's heart to want to free you. And you will start to see, I think, the intimacy. You know, when I dealt with my dad's death, it wasn't only I've seen the kingdom of God break out. I've grown in my knowledge of the Father like never before. I feel a real son now. I don't feel like I've lost my orphan heart to a great degree. And I see Father as just an amazing, loving Father. The intimacy has come back alongside with the kingdom breaking out. And I think those things are not coincidental. Kingdom of God will often only break out in our lives to the degree that we're intimate with the Father. And Jesus only wants service after friendship. Don't try and minister out of a place of hurt, out of a place of pain. Because free people, hurt people tend to hurt people. So we do need to deal with things in our hearts. But God's gentle and loving, and he knows where everyone is. Okay.